it. Wow, this is amazing. Well, is that right? Okay. Whoa. All right. Well, I'm used to working with people who mostly are not Christian people, and so they have to approach getting a job, without God, which makes it a heck of a lot harder, as you can imagine. So, you know, we are very, very fortunate, aren't we, that we can pray. We know that we are called to be something special in God. We know that He's got special work for us to do. And as I was just thinking about what to say this morning, and I've only got 10 minutes, so I'm going to have to zoom along, a very important message came through, thank you, Lord, because it's one that's featured in this book here, which is actually my Job Seeker's Bible. It's got an amazing wealth of information on absolutely everything to do with getting a job. But more than that, this particular guy here, Richard Bowles, is a Christian, and he's very concerned with our callings and our mission in life. So it's been an interesting work for me talking to people who are not Christians about their mission in life, and it's really opened up conversations with them as to who they really, really are. So, and that opens up the conversations about their values and their gifts and their knowledges and their skills and their personal traits. So all of these things are really important aspects of getting a job, obviously. So I'm just going to start with the most important thing of all, the message that came through from last night, and that's in that book, this book, and it is know yourself. Know yourself. Now, you cannot write a CV or a cover letter or turn up at an interview if you don't know yourself. So to know yourself takes not a huge amount of work, but I reckon it probably takes a good week of solid work thinking about, praying about who you are, who you really are. And once you know who you really are, when you turn up to that interview and they say to you, as they 9 times out of 10 do, tell me about yourself. Who's had that question thrown at them? Tell me about yourself. So they don't want to hear about all your dogs and cats and fish. They probably don't want to hear about how many, you know, grandchildren you've got, although that's probably quite interesting. They don't really want to know what sports you play. What they want to know is what you are going to offer their company. And a person that's interviewing you is a little bit scared themselves, because if they don't select the right candidate, they're going to be in trouble. Okay? So what's always going on in the back of their minds is, what's this person got to offer me? So for you to tell them what you're going to offer them, what you can offer them, you have to know yourself. All right. So the fundamental thing is, for Christians and for non-Christians, and this is what's shaking from above last night as I was lying in bed, is our calling. So we can go straight to the call, which we're all at home with, because as we all know from our worship this morning, it's the heart that's calling Christ, and it's Christ's heart that's calling us to work, to do something for Him. That's our heart's desire, isn't it? Is to work for the Lord in whatever way, shape, or form that is. So I'm just going to quickly go through, whoopsie-daisy, a few missions. It's okay, I think I can. A few areas of mission that we might be called to. All right, now I'll just grab it here. Richard Bowles, has done a really fantastic job of outlining 9 kingdoms of mission. All right. Now, mission is one word. The way he helps us to identify our areas of mission or areas of work is by describing them as values. Okay, what are our values? And that's the best place to start, really, in considering you know, what is our mission? So I'm just going to read them out, and I just want you to think about them. Do you identify with this? Okay, so the question that he asks us as we try and identify our mission area is, when you have finished your life on earth, do you want there to be more such and such? Okay, so what is it that you, what is the legacy that you want to leave behind? And that's going to steer you into the right area of work. Okay, so the first area is the mind. The question is, when you have finished your life on earth, do you want there to be more knowledge, truth, or clarity? Is there anyone here that likes to bring clarity to situations? Yeah? Another second area is the body. All right. When you have finished your life on earth, do you want to leave a legacy of leaving people healthier, better fed, clothed? So perhaps you want to work with the poor, or perhaps you want to work in health and fitness. Perhaps that's your value. That's your area of interest. That might be your area of mission, your area of work. Third one is, when you have finished your life on earth, do you want there to be more beauty? Do you want to leave a legacy of art, of beautiful floral arrangements, of interior design? This is the area of the eyes and the senses. Is that your strongest area of value? Is that where you like to work? Is that what you like doing? Is that, could there be a calling in that area? Fourth one is the heart. When you have finished your life on earth, do you want there to be, do you want to leave a legacy of love and compassion? So I'm sure we all want that on some level, but for some people it's really deep. So who would identify with that in some way? Can you think of a job that that relates to? Okay, can you think of a job that that particularly relates to? Love and compassion? What's that? Nursing? Yeah. Anything else? Counselling? Yeah. Possibly caring for children, old people, those kinds of things. All right. The fifth one is the will or conscience. Are you somebody who's, if when you have finished your life on earth, would you like the, would you like to have left a legacy of more justice? Okay, more righteousness, more honesty, more morality? Is that an area of calling for you, an area of mission? Number six is the area of the spirit. So when you've finished your life here on earth, do you want there to be more forgiveness, is the way he describes that? More forgiveness, more love for God and the human family in all its diversity. Okay, so can anyone think of any work in that area of the spirit where you're bringing grace and healing and forgiveness? What about being a pastor? Yeah? Okay. And there could be others here who have a calling to the life of the spirit, the work of the spirit. You may not yet be pastors, but maybe there's a gift being stirred. So as I just mentioned these, just notice if there is any stirring in any of those areas. So number seven is the area of entertainment. When you've finished your life on earth, would you like there to be more, would you like to have left a legacy of laughter, fun and joy? So what areas could that relate to? What's that? Acting, yeah, just music, maybe dance, perhaps anything that entertains and brings joy, lightness of spirit. Okay, number eight is an area called our possessions. So when you've finished your life on earth, would you like to leave a legacy of better stewardship? You might be interested in savings, a more emphasis on enough rather than an emphasis on having more. So that's the area of our possessions. So is there any area of work where that could relate? Better stewardship of money. Could be working in a bank. Could be an accountant. Could be, what was that? Yeah, banking. Anything to do with finance and money. Okay, and the last one is the earth. When you've finished your life on earth, Would you like to leave a legacy of a healthier planet? Perhaps you work with eco-consciousness in some way. All right, so these are, you know, 9 areas. You probably won't remember all of those, but maybe one or two rang a few bells with you. What I sort of am feeling is that God really is, he's kind of, I just sort of feel that God has been speaking to people. You probably don't even think of it as speaking, but there's a bit of a movement, a bit of a restlessness. You might be somebody that's thinking of changing a job. You might be somebody that's looking for a job but wondering about changing fields. You might be someone that doesn't need to work but might be thinking about doing voluntary work. And my feeling is that the Lord wants to kind of help you consider that more deeply. And the way to do that, now I'll just give you a very brief, quick rundown as to how next to do that. So when you've sort of identified the area of mission, you know, one of these, and I've got some bits printed out that you can take away and read and go over. So the other areas for you to just consider as you work this out, as you try and figure out what area of work God is calling you into, which I believe he is, I want you to think about your knowledges, everything you know, through everything you've learnt how to do in all the jobs you've had, going right even back to Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, you know, tying knots, everything. You'll find you've got a wealth of knowledges. Just go back through those jobs, write them all down, big brainstorming exercise. Do that one day. Take you probably, you know, 20 minutes to do that. And then after that, I want you to think about all your skills that you've got. So you've got areas of knowledge, but how skilled are you in those areas of knowledge? So then I want you to write down all of those skills that you've got in those areas of knowledge. And again, I've got some exercises here that you can take away and work through. So you'll have skills in the area of working with people, working with things, working with data. So we all work with figures or something to some level or another. And we all work with people doing different things to some level or another. So anyway, you'll read that. And then the third thing is our traits. What do we bring into the job? Do we bring happiness? Do we bring a logical mind? All those kinds of things. So these are kind of all the areas that I believe God wants you to explore to get to know yourself. And then once you spend time with God, going, writing and brainstorming all these areas, I think you'll begin to feel a lot more confident about approaching an interview when you've more clearly decided what kind of jobs you want to apply for. I honestly think if you do spend that time thinking about who you are, what you can do, what you love to do, what you're really good at, and what God might, then you'll be ready to hear what God is calling you into. Because he might be calling you into something you just think, oh, I'm just not equipped for that. But actually, I think he wants to remind you that you are equipped for that. And in doing this work, you'll find that out. So that's my 10 minutes, I think.
Thank you. Well, I was to go last. Now, you can tell who's the boss in our house. I just want to touch on an interview that Kevin and I had when we first started business while I was listening to Tess, and the information you gave Tess was excellent. But we turned up in Rotorua and we were meeting at McDonald's to have this interview, and we were sitting there, and then this chap came up to our table, and he had a tray, it had a burger on it, and it had a cup of coffee, and he plants the tray in front of us and says, oh, you're the guys who I'm going to have an interview with. And we sort of look at him and we go, sorry, I didn't get that. Your mouth was full of burger. And so I had learned about people skills. And so he continues and we sort of go through the spiel. And at the end of it, he says, nah, you guys can't pay me enough. So that's sort of a don't in interviewing, okay? So it was a sort of a lesson learnt. But I just want to say how awesome it is that we have a God who wants us to prosper and be successful. Yeah. He really does. He wants us to be the head and not the tail. And when Jesus was born, the wise men didn't turn up with knitted booties and printed bibs. No, they turned up with gold. Gold, no less. Gold, myrrh, frankincense. Quality, quality perfume. I can tell you that that package would have set Joseph and Mary up for life financially, I believe. And so we need to be successful. So I just, as we're talking about communication in the workforce, I just want to touch on a few points that I push home when I'm training. And the first one and most important one is that the person in front of you, whether it's through sales or you're promoting, that they must feel important. They must feel special. And so a few points to do that is, number one, learn to take the I out of a conversation. I, me, mine, I. And replace it with you. The most important word is you. So learn to understand that putting them before you is going to pay dividends. Now understand too that it can be difficult to put a stranger at ease straight away. But that is important too, that you are relatable very quickly. So I have three words, four. I actually threw that in to complicate it. But it's F-O-R, four. F is for family, O is for occupation, and R is for recreation. You can always start a conversation based on that. F for family, most people want to talk about their family. So if you're in a stranger's house and you need to put them at ease, usually there are photos on the wall of their family. Is this your family? Do they live nearby? The conversation will now flow when it's about a family. An occupation. Are you retired? What sort of job do you have? How long have you been in it? The conversation will flow. And recreation. Do you play sport? Have you played sport? Do your children play sport? Are you watching rugby on TV? You watch soccer? Just watch the body language on that one, okay? So the idea is to put the people at ease and start a conversation. Four, family, occupation, and recreation. And now that you've got them at ease and talking, guess what the other personal skill is? Listening. Listening is a huge people skill that I believe just doesn't come naturally. I believe that we have to cultivate it. Because, we just are very keen to interrupt and have an opinion on everything. Trust me, they don't want to hear it. They want to know that you care about what they want and what they don't want. And if you can cultivate that skill, that is going to play dividends for you in the workplace, that you really care and you're prepared to listen. And one of the other hurdles that crop up in regards to listening is different personalities. In front of you, you could have a sanguine. They're going to exaggerate to the hilt. They're going to talk with just gusto. Focus. You need to focus. You could have a phlegmatic on the flip side of that, and they're going to take ages to get their point across. Just ages. Still focus. In a melancholy, they're going to ask question, question after question after question after question. Just keep answering the questions and focus. And a choleric is going to go, are you listening? They come straight to the point. So when it comes to listening, the little word is focus, because you can so easy just drift off. You know, did I put the dog out? What do I need for dinner? That is actually going to show in body language. And what that is actually saying is, I don't really care about you. I'm too busy about me. Remember, the bottom line is, the other person needs to feel special. This lady, she had problems with her sink in the kitchen. And so she rang the plumber, and she said to the plumber, I've left the key under the mat. So just let yourself in. Don't worry about the Rockwheeler Spike. He's fine. But the parrot, whatever you do, don't interrupt the parrot while it talks. Just listen. Don't interrupt the parrot. Well, while the plumber was working, the parrot was talking. It drove him nuts. He goes, shut up, parrot. The parrot says, get him, Spike. There is a moral to that story. And the other thing is, while you're all laughing, it is smile. Smile. Don't ever underestimate your smile. Your smile creates money, believe it or not. To be relatable with a smile, what do they say? Smile and the whole world smiles with you? It does. And so when we smile, we are engaging. Kevin and I, we went to the home show not too long ago. We were looking for appliances, but we realized while we're walking around that they're very upmarket and they're very expensive. And we're doing up a house and we just wanted something average price, but we couldn't find it. So in reality, we were tire kicking until we came across the salesperson who had a big, 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 huge, beaming smile. And he showed that he cared. So an oven, a hob top, an extractor fan later, we're saying, thank you. You see what a smile does? It plays dividends. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Ray touched on walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. For me, this is a biggie. Because when people are different from us, we're inclined to run a mile. But what does it mean to walk in somebody else's shoes? It actually means to be compassionate and understanding. And let's face it, in business, we are always confronted with people who are different. Dale Carnegie says, any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, but it takes courage and self-control to be understanding and forgiving. That's actually big, especially in business. You see, if we always want to be right, and Kevin says to me, right at the beginning when we're in business, and it's pretty crash, but he said, do you want to be right or do you want to be rich? I thought about that. And there's something to it. Do I always have to be right? No, I don't. Do you want to be right or do you want to be promoted? Do you want to be right or do you want to get on with your colleagues? You really don't always have to be right. And so based on that, we need to be able to be so relatable like a chameleon. We need to be able to change. We need to be accepting of others, because Peter said, how many times do I have to forgive? And we all know what Jesus said, 70 times 7, Peter. And in Luke 6 it says, don't judge. You see, we don't know if we were in the same situation, lived in the same environment, everything about that person, would we really be any different? I sort of guess not. And so if we want to succeed in life, if we want to succeed in business, we need to be compassionate about other people. And right from the start I said, the people in front of us, the people who we're selling to, the people who we're promoting to, need to be really, really special. And it is the same within the church structure. You know, when we have somebody new that comes into church, we need to be able to have a people skilled to be able to just say hi and not forget the smile. So just to conclude on all of that, I'll have Pam. So learn to just take out the I and replace it with you. And to have confidence and to put people at ease, just to remember four, F-O-R, family, occupation and recreation. Listen and hear. There is a difference, you know, between listening and hearing. And just remember the parrot. And walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. I mean, that is so important that you understand and have compassion for other people. Okay. A church is recognized by how friendly it is by the smile and a hi. And that is so true. Just could you imagine if somebody new came in and everyone smiled and said hi? Success is nothing more than a few simple disciplines practiced every day. And that's how I conclude it. Wow. Thank you.
Hi, that was great. Thanks, Steph. I see I've got a phone here anyway. The reason I got Steph to go second instead of last was because I had something all prepared. And God stepped in. So I'm a little bit nervous, actually, because I've never done this before. But this morning I woke up and God said to me, and I wrote it down, I want you to tell the people I can talk to them. I asked him, what does he want? I keep asking him, what does he want? He says, I want you to tell the people I can talk to them. Yes. I'm interested in them, yes. In their everyday lives, in their jobs. In where and when or if they should apply for a new job or promotion. Constantly talk to me. That's what I want, a real relationship. Yes. So I said, but God, you know, Papa, I've prepared my talk for this morning. He said, I know. However, I want you to tell my children this. And I said, well, why now? I haven't timed it. I don't even know what I'm going to say. And he said, I'll tell you what to say. Has talking to me affected you? Is it changing your life? I want you to tell everyone what a real difference having a conversation and a real conversation with me can make. So I said, okay, God, if that's what you really want, you sure I'm not just making this up myself? No, Kevin, he said, this is me, and you know that. You are one of my flock, and when the shepherd speaks, the sheep know. I don't know what to say. How will I start, or anything? He said, start with this conversation, and I'll lead. Whew. So I don't know what to say. You know, I could bow to you a million times, and it still won't be enough. Because you have changed my life in a thousand ways I can't explain all that you've done. Those words are so awesome. Tess said, know yourself.
Yes.
Know yourself. Yes. But you know, there's someone who knows you better than you know yourself.
Yeah.
And if you speak to him, if you talk to him, he'll answer you. He'll answer you. Steph said, listen, cultivate it. If you talk to God and listen, you'll hear him talk. Trust me. In the last 15 years, I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm so emotional. But in the last 15 years, in times of trouble, I've heard God maybe 3 times. I've called out when I've needed to, and he's answered. But God doesn't want to call out you to call out when you need him. He wants you to call out every single day. He wants you to talk to him every single minute of every single day, because he's listening and he wants a conversation with you. He wants a conversation with you. He wants a relationship, because that's more important to him than anything else. The first time I called out to God, I was working, I was a financial advisor. And I was reasonably successful, working for a company. And I didn't know they wanted me to sign a contract, and I didn't know whether to sign this contract or not. And I was asking God, and I was asking God, and I was asking God. And in the end I said, God, I'm so thick, I can't hear you. Don't believe that. God talks to you every single minute of every single day. Are you listening? The next morning I got up, opened up my computer, and there was an email from my employer, and it said, you're fired, basically. You know something? I said, thank you, God. You made it clear, you made it plain, I'm not supposed to be working here. God talks to you. Don't wait until you have to get fired. The second time I was asked to speak on tithing at a large church in the city. So one Sunday I spoke on tithing, and I thought I did a terrible job. And I went back home after church, and I'm lying on my bed and I'm thinking, wow, what a bad job I did. And God showed up and he said to me, the next time I want you to talk on tithing, I want you to offer your services to the people. I was a financial advisor. And I said, I'm never going to speak on tithing again. And he said, next time you talk on tithing, I want you to offer your services to the people. I said, no, look, I'm never going to, and this conversation went on backwards and forwards for a little while. And then I eventually gave in and said, okay, but they'll never ask me again. I did such a bad job, they'll never ask me again. Well, the next Sunday, for some strange reason, we went to church early. Don't ask me why. And somebody came up and said, I want you to talk on tithing. That was the very next Sunday. So I did. I did another terrible job, but I did. Their lead pastor was there, actually, and I said to him, you guys have been... This church asks you for your money all the time. Money, money, money. Every Sunday they ask you for your money. I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm going to give you something. Well, he wasn't very happy. I was listening. But remember, there were 3 times in 15 years that I really heard God. And the third time was in a real deep place for myself and Steph. for a month, I'd be woken up at about, at 2 o'clock every single morning. And I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what. And Papa God was telling me to get up and pray. So I get up, and I didn't know what to pray for. So I'd speak in tongues. I'd go into the other bedroom so I wouldn't disturb Steph. I'd get down on my knees, and I'd pray. And I'd pray, and I'd pray, and I'd pray, because I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what. Every night this happened for 1 month. And after a month, Steph came to me and said, something's happening in my body. What do you think? And I said, well, I think you should go to the doctor. So she went to the doctor. And the doctor said to her, look, it's 1 in 1,000 chance you're going to have cancer, but we'll send you to a specialist just in case. So Steph went to the specialist, and she was the one. Later she asked the doctor, she said to the doctor, why did you send me to a specialist? And the doctor said, I don't know, because I was prompted to. God told me. She was listening. She was listening. The doctor was listening. That was a real hard time in our lives. And I cried out to God. And I cried out to God. And I cried out to God. And you know, if you're going through a hard time in your life, God will come through. He will come through. I would have so much emotion and so much pain, and I'd say, I can't bear this anymore, Lord. I can't bear it. And you know, all of a sudden, I said, you promised you wouldn't put anything on me that I couldn't bear. You promised. And all of a sudden, the weight would go. He would take it away. I haven't got a lot of time. But that's a long story, and I won't go into all that story. But he answered, he talked to me, and I want you to know today that no matter what you're going through, he's going to answer, and he's going to talk to you. I am now, because of listening to Jesus, the course we're doing, because of a book that I'm reading, I am now trying, what did Steph say? Cultivating, listening to God. I'm asking him questions about my everyday life because he's interested in what I do every single moment of every single day. He wants to know what I feel, where I'm going, even what I'm eating. He's interested. He's interested. So talk to him and cultivate listening. Write it down, and the first thing that comes into your mind, write it down. Because you will know when Papa God is talking to you. You will know that it's him. Because he says, my sheep, hear my voice. My sheep, hear my voice. And we are all his sheep. So this is supposed to be about work. So if you're looking for a job, if you're looking to change your job, if you want to look for a promotion, ask your dad in heaven, because he's in here and he'll tell you what to apply for. He'll tell you where to go. He'll tell you the answers to give. Write it down. Thank you.